should he open the door for her or not? One dad answered that by saying, it depends on whether or not it's my daughter. And when my daughters were, I'll admit, when my daughters were dating, if they didn't invite me to tag along on the date, which occasionally happened, I would always watch when the guy picked them up to see whether or not he opened the door for them before he went around and got in his side of the car. And if he didn't open the door, he started out with so many demerits that it was unlikely he'd ever recover from the evening. Open doors. You know, people open doors for us in careers as well, regardless of what that career is. There's probably been someone who opened the door for you for the opportunity that now you are pursuing. I've got a friend who owns a mortgage company in the Denton area. And recently, I was with him, and I asked him, I said, well, you know, how did you get into the mortgage business? Because he didn't grow up in the mortgage business. He said, well, you know, I went to college on a baseball scholarship, and after college, I pitched for a number of minor league teams around the country. And at one point, I was in California pitching, and I met a guy who was in this business, and he began to talk to me about it. I thought it was pretty interesting business. So when I left baseball, moved back to this area, because he was originally from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, moved back to the area, he said, I began to work in an aspect of the business, and a partner and I opened up a title company, and then we decided to move out of the title company and open up a mortgage business. People open the doors for us in so many, many ways. It's true when it comes to ministry and service. Regardless of how you were gifted and how that might be channeled, there was probably someone who opened the door for you to begin serving in a particular ministry. The communal relationship we have, relationship in community, and the mentoring relationships we have help us not only to find areas of ministry where we could be involved, but those relationships also give us the esteem to launch out, to take the chance, to take the risk, to begin to utilize gifts that God has endowed us with, or to look for how the Spirit may have gifted our lives. Today is about open doors, made possible by an open tomb. So here's the message. The open tomb opens the door for life changes in so many, many ways. Look with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. You see, the truth is that sleeping people miss everything. And so we've got to be open for the Holy Spirit to work in our life and to teach us what it means to be a believer, to teach us what it means to pursue faith and also to pursue ministry. What does it mean to have an open tomb, and how does that open tomb open doors? Matthew 28, verse 1, story of the resurrection. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Regardless of the particular gospel that you read the resurrection account from, do you know what's missing about the resurrection? We don't actually see it. Now, we do experience the results of the resurrection, but you don't actually see Jesus come out of that tomb. But consider for a moment, seeing is not everything. Seeing is not everything. Have you almost seen something great happen? You just missed it. Now, I'll admit, I've been to high school football games, local sporting events, either high school football or going to a volleyball game, and some particular play happens, and I want to see that play again, or I look away when that play happens, and immediately, do you know what I began to do? I'm looking around for the screen, because we are so conditioned by watching events on TV, or even going to professional or college sporting events, and there is some kind of screen where we can see the play happen again. But events are always more important than actually seeing them happen. So the resurrection is recorded for us. But for whatever reason, God counted it important, though the event is recorded, He doesn't produce for the church to replay on our DVDs throughout time the actual video footage of the resurrection taking place. Suppose He had a reason for that, but God doesn't produce it. So where do we end up focusing our attention? We focus our attention on the results of the resurrection. The impact upon people back then and the impact upon us today. Just reading this particular text from Matthew 28 can be a bit dizzying. As we see it spill out these unfolding images of an earthquake here and an angel there. And then, of course, we have the guards who act like they are applying for statue model jobs at some retail store. And then there is the women. Have you noticed that when heaven moves, earth feels the movement? So in the aftermath of this stone being rolled back, we end up focusing on a couple of questions. One being, are you close enough to feel the movement? So, they close the tomb, and everything's done. Nothing more to see, nothing more to experience, nothing more there until Sunday morning. Or is there? Look with me in chapter 27 of Matthew, beginning with verse 57. Matthew 27, beginning with verse 57. Listen to this part of the story unfold. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. And going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Tomb's closed. Tomb is closed. It's over. Church is over. It's done. Jesus says so. It's finished. Nothing more to consider. Everybody's gone. Wrong. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are sitting there opposite the tomb. Now, maybe it's just me, and I end up being curious about a lot of things, but I admit I'm curious. What are they sitting there thinking? Are they depressed? Are they crying? Are they sitting there regretting something about their relationship with Jesus, their own devotion to God, or that they didn't do something more to try to interfere in this unfolding experience? They're sitting there. Sitting there. Maybe they're just praying. But then again, maybe they're loving. Loving. That's what we do with people we care about, isn't it? We love them. We love them while they are alive, and after they have died, do we stop loving them? God bless you, ladies, because you remind us men it's important to love. Just love. So maybe they're sitting there loving the one who is now in the tomb behind. They saw where his body was placed. The stone is up. And still, they sit. You know what else is remarkable about this? It seems that they are the last ones there on Friday evening, and they are the first ones there on Sunday morning. At that point of the morning, whenever the light of a new day breaches the darkness of the night that has been, they arrive at the tomb, and they look at the tomb. Now, on the way, they're not quite sure how they're going to go about anointing the body of Jesus, because that's a big rock in front of the tomb. How are we going to move it? Certainly they couldn't expect to get any help from the soldiers. I wouldn't think so. And when they arrive at the tomb and there is just enough light to look at that tomb, and what about that rock? Is it closed or is it open? And the church said, open, open. It's open. You know, heaven still moves stones. Did you know that? Heaven still moves stones. Sometimes God moves stones where there's a relationship that has been dead and given up. And God still moves stones. Sometimes we give up on ourselves. And God reminds us that He still moves stones. The question is, are you close enough to feel the movement? Are you close enough to feel the movement? Are you close enough to worship? Are you close enough to people of faith? Are you close enough to the stories about Him? Are you close enough to experience the divine spark of new life at the birth of a baby? Are you close enough to experience and to feel the divine courage when an obstacle is overcome? Are you close enough to feel the divine joy when a human accomplishment is achieved? Are we close enough to feel heaven move? But it's not just a matter of being close enough. That's proximity. You can be close to a lot of things and not be affected by it. Are you open to feel the movement? Have you come to the tomb and you are open to experience what has happened here? If you and I are open to it, it will change our life. You cannot go to the tomb and leave unaffected if you are open to be changed by what God has done there. It will change the way you see self. It will change the way you see others. It will change the way you see life. It will change the way you orient your goals. It will change the way you see the church. God doesn't need our help to open the tomb, does He? But He invites us. Friends, He invites us to come and see an open tomb. God didn't open the tomb so God could get out. God opened the tomb so that man could get in. And we look. And then we decide. Is this story, is this experience, is this opening going to affect our lives? Start the day with Jesus. Sounds like a bumper sticker, doesn't it? For the religious. Or maybe it's just a catchy phrase you could expect to hear a seminar speaker use. But you know what else it is? Start the day with Jesus. It's pretty descriptive of the experience that these women are having this morning. After a stirring conversation with the angels, they leave. And they leave going on a gospel mission. They are told to go back and tell the disciples that He has been resurrected. It's only, we're told in another account, after they go and tell the disciples, Peter and John go running. And then they look in the tomb and they come back. But at this point, these women are going. And they're going on a gospel mission to tell the disciples that Jesus is resurrected. And then suddenly they are stopped. And the description in the text in Matthew 28 of their demeanor is this. They are afraid and yet filled with joy. Can you identify with them? That's been a rather traumatic morning, hasn't it? It's been a rather traumatic last few days, has it not? And so does it not make sense that they would awake that morning, they have a mission, they are on to honor Jesus' body, honor his memory, and then things don't go as they intended for them to go, and they are afraid, and yet they are filled with joy. And as they are running, we are told, as they are going to the disciples, they are stopped suddenly. Why are they stopped? Who is it they meet on the way? They meet Jesus. Fashion that. If you've got a mission you're on and Jesus stops you to have a conversation, is that okay? You'll notice in the story they don't say to Jesus, "Jesus, we'll have to get back to you. We got something else to do." And you know how Jesus greets them? Now, it doesn't have this rendering in your text, but this is legit. You know what Jesus says to them? They stop suddenly, see him, and he says to them, "Good morning." Doesn't sound deeply theological, but it works, doesn't it? Good morning. Good morning. You come to church this morning. Go to church a lot of Sunday mornings, perhaps. And you come in, you have certain expectations, but there's nothing like the good morning from Jesus to make the day right. And he says to them, "Good morning," and their reaction is they fall at his feet, they grab or clasp his feet, and they worship him. And from that point on, do you know what the message is? When the day begins with Jesus, it matters. Because beginning of the day with Jesus brings orientation to disoriented lives. When the day begins with Jesus, it makes the mission more than simply words. And they are on a mission. They leave that morning with a mission, a gospel mission, and today we are still leaving the tomb on a gospel mission. And the message of the gospel, friends, is a message to see. You know who the resurrection impacts? Here's who the resurrection impacts. The resurrection is a message for those who want to see. If you come to this story and you're not open to learn and to listen, you won't see it. The resurrection is a message for those who need to see. Do you need Jesus in your life? Hello? Amen? Now, we need to say that not only encourage one another, but for anybody here who is really weighing out to what extent they need Jesus in their life. We're not here just to play church. We're not here because it's just a good tradition. We are here because of the resurrection. That's why we are here, are we not? The message of the resurrection is for those who want to see. The message of the resurrection is for those who need to see. But you know, the resurrection is also a message for those who are willing to see. Did your kids ever try to get something across to you and had to tell you three times before you listen? Even as a dad, there were those moments when I was kind of thick-headed. They didn't happen often. None of my kids are here this morning, so. Are you willing to see? You know, I've gone to church all my life, and I'll confess, okay? It's always scary when the preacher says he'll confess, isn't it? I'll confess. There are times I've gone to church, and I've just had the shell up. It's been going through the motions. And I've been left unaffected. By the singing, by the sermon, I didn't always preach, by the communion, the meal. Are you willing to see? And you know what willingness takes and the requirements of willingness, what it demands of us, in other words? It demands sacrifice. You and I have got to sacrifice if we're going to be willing to see the resurrection and the importance of it for our life. We've also got to have some self-discipline. If you want to get to know Jesus, you need to spend some time reading the stories about Jesus. But you also need to spend some time applying the stories about Jesus. You can read through your Bible every year and it not having have the impact in your life that it should. Think about the stories. See how the stories are lived out. Believe in a Jesus who is still alive and is still working and is still living out these stories through his people among others in this world. Sacrifice, self-discipline, and here we are back again. It takes open spirits. Are you open? Are you open? Now, maybe you help determine whether or not you're open, and are you thinking about the song when we're singing? The words, the impact, does the music affect you? When a scripture is read, does it resonate? Does the thought of Jesus and how much you need him make a difference in your life? Are you open to see? Friday night, last ones at the tomb appear to be these women. Sunday morning, who does it seem are the first ones back? The women. Now, we're told they follow Jesus, many of them at least follow Jesus from Galilee. Mark says, the Gospel of Mark says, some of them came from Jerusalem. But they really are quite remarkable women. And I want you to notice another statement that's made about these women. This is by Luke. And it's almost a parenthetical statement. Look at this. Luke 23, verse 55. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath, which would have been the next day, right? In obedience to the commandment. Luke 23, verses 55 and 56. It's almost like a parenthetical statement to this story, but really it's not. It says something about these women. It says something about their dedication to God, their service, as well as their devotion to Jesus. And so they leave the tomb on Friday night. They prepare spices that they're not going to be able to put on the body of Jesus until Sunday morning. They don't have a plan for how that's going to happen, but they are very ambitious because of their love to make it happen. On Saturday, that tomb is sealed because of the paranoia of the Jewish leaders and the compliance of the Roman soldiers, and these women come back on Sunday morning. And it's really not a parenthetical statement. It's descriptive of those who hung with Jesus and were changed by Jesus. You want your life to change? Here's the remedy. Hang out with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus, right? If you spend time with Jesus, your life's going to change. Your life is going to change. Now, can I finish with a couple of questions to show you a little video clip? How many of us have been to a funeral where the portion of the funeral that was at the gravesite was at a gravesite similar to the one where Jesus was buried? Anybody been to a grave that was hewn out of a rock? That's a pretty unique story for us, isn't it? I want to share with you also a unique retelling of this story.
Hello, my name is Eliana Anderson.
My name is Alicia Anderson.
Once upon a time, there was a bunny?
No.
One day, Jesus went to Jerusalem on his donkey. They all gathered twigs and they waved them in the air. They threw their coats on the ground. Hosanna, Hosanna. It's the Son of God. Then on the last night with his friends, he had a meal with them. They ate the Last Supper. He said that to remember him every time they had that supper. He went to the garden to pray Gethsemane. But the disciples fell asleep with the donkey. After Jesus prayed, fingers took them away.
So drugs were bad.
Jesus said that he was God's son. They didn't like it at all.
The people got so mad that they put Jesus on a cross. His mom and his friends were very sad because they loved him. He died because he wanted to forgive our sins. They brought him off the cross to a cave that had a stone so he couldn't get out. Saturday, they were all sad and they were all scared. On a Sunday, they went to look and they saw he was not in there anymore. The tomb was empty. An angel told them that Jesus has risen from the dead. The women came running to the disciples to tell them, but they would not believe them. Jesus came in the room. They were all surprised and they were all happy. Since they were so happy, they had a month together. After they had so much fun, Jesus went onto a top of a hill and he waved goodbye all to his friends. He said, "I will come back someday. While I'm gone, tell everybody about me." And he went up to heaven. The disciples, they told everybody that Jesus would always forgive them. Now I know that he loves me and my little sister Alicia and my mom and my dad, and he loves everybody. That's why me and my sister love to dress up and go to church and be pretty as we celebrate Easter. By celebrating, we say to Jesus, "Thank you and we love you."
Thank you. Okay, just to verify one of the graphics, listen to this. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to make, or seemed to them like nonsense. Right? The graphic like this. Unique retelling of the story. It is Sunday. It is the first day. And the tomb is empty. And that open door opens the opportunity for us, that open tomb opens the door of opportunity for us to continue to see a heaven that continues to make an impact on earth. And the question is, as we hear the story of the resurrection, are we wanting to see, are we willing to see, and are we open to see heaven moving on earth? If you have any need to come, come all together, we stand and sing.